Pay claim of Michael Knox.
Good morning, Commissioners and Mayor. My name is Becky Chow. I'm the Civil Rights Claims Analyst with Risk Management. This is an ordinance to approve a settlement of a lawsuit and workers' compensation claims brought by Michael Knox against the city, and to end Mr. Knox's employment relationship with the city. Mr. Knox has been a parking enforcement officer with the city since 1999. He injured his right foot at work and was covered by workers' compensation. He was put on light duty and ultimately had surgery on the foot. Knox claimed that he was disabled and was discriminated against based on a disability, but that claim was dismissed by the court. However, Mr. Knox raised additional claims of gender and race discrimination and retaliation that will go to trial if this settlement is not approved. Based on an evaluation of the facts and witnesses, there is some chance that a jury might award Mr. Knox damages on one or more of these claims. In the event that Mr. Knox was awarded damages, he would also be entitled to attorney's fees, which in this case could be substantial. The City Attorney's Office and Risk Management recommend that the city pay Mr. Knox and his attorney a total of $225,000 to settle all claims with the city and secure Mr. Knox's resignation from employment to prevent future liability for additional claims. If you have any questions about this case, I'd be happy to answer them.
Questions from the commissioners?
How many workers' compensation claims has Mr. Knox filed against the city?
Well, this would settle four workers' compensation claims. We had four tort claims and one lawsuit.
Four tort claims.
That were kind of all put into the lawsuit. Two bully claims.
Three of the compensation claims were for stress. Is that right?
No. I have the workers' compensation. I think one was all stress that could be currently here. Here, this is Sue Klein, the workers' compensation manager.
There were two claims for stress. One was an occupational disease and one was an injury claim, and they're both being settled in this matter.
And some for injuries.
And four tort claims as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Two bully, and they all were put together to the lawsuit.
So if we do settle this, Mr. Knox will receive a considerable sum of money. Will be terminated from city employment, but I guess what troubles me with that is if he goes and applies to some other public agency or any other place of employment, that we're sort of powerless to really share our experience with Mr. Knox as an employee. It's frustrating. It's not unique to Mr. Knox's situation, but it is one of those frustrations that I find, and it tends sometimes that, you know, bad employees get passed around and nobody ever speaks up.
I'm not sure that that's an appropriate characterization of a settlement that we had presented to us. I mean, I certainly don't want that to reflect.
Well, okay, I'm speaking for myself.
Yeah. I mean, what I'm hearing is a settlement to a claim. I didn't hear any suggestion that he was a bad employee, and I'm not sure that's appropriate to be saying here.
You
don't have to respond to that.
Right.
That's just my own.
The settlement is a public record. The lawsuit's a public record. And part of the settlement comes with, what the city's response to employment checks will be, sort of a letter that's already prepared that will be given to future employers.
I'm sorry, what bureau did he work for?
Parking enforcement, so it's part of the Office of Transportation.
What was his specific title?
Parking enforcement officer. I mean, it's changed over time, sort of the people who go around and write parking tickets.
I just want to be clear, in these kinds of settlements, we're not admitting or denying any wrongdoing. We're simply accepting a recommendation based on an assessment of potential liability for the city.
Correct. In this settlement, there's no admission of liability.
Other questions?
Thank you. Is there a sign-up sheet on this?
I did not have one.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this matter? It's an emergency. Call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I think most city employees are outstanding people, and they work very hard. and they care about their jobs. And for those who are not, like Mr. Knox, it's too bad we don't have a lemon law. I truly believe that this situation is one we should not settle. We should take to court. I think it's a matter of principle. I think we have somebody here who is a frequent workers' comp claim filer, a frequent litigator, and doesn't seem to want to do his job, doesn't want to seem to work hard like most city employees do. So with that, I will vote no, and I do hope that we will choose to litigate it. I realize there are risks. I realize that means Mr. Knox could keep his employment with the city, but it's one of those situations where I'd rather not see some other employer inherit somebody who's not a good employee. So I respectfully vote no.
Potter.
I vote aye. Because it's emergency ordinance, the no vote carries. Would any commissioner like to make a change in?
What would be the appropriate time to move to reconsider?
Reconsider or to change it to?
I'd have to, well, to be reconsidered, you'd have to be in the majority. Dan is the only one in the majority then. And can we pull the emergency designation and have it be a first reading?
I don't know that that can be done by anybody other than Dan at this point.
I can change. What if I change my vote to no?
Move to reconsider.
I change my vote to no, and then.
Yes.
What would be the appropriate motion at that point?
Move to remove the emergency clause.
Okay, I change my vote to no, move to remove the emergency clause.
I have a second.
Second.
Call the vote on that.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Saltzman.
No.
Potter.
Aye.
So now it moves to second reading.
So this will move to a second reading.
Next. We're good.
We've got our chief legal counsel.
Yeah.
Here,
so wait for legal.
I think we might want to wait.
Is there another step?
Is there a timing issue?
Yes, you can move to remove. You can. Someone can move to remove the emergency clause as an amendment.
Which one?
Sorry, done.
We did that.
It was seconded. We voted.
Okay. So it now moves to a second reading next week.
So have we done?
What was your sprint time, Linda?
Have we done what we need to do?
Yes.
Okay.
Please read item 1236.
Approve a memorandum of understanding among Carroll Investments, LLC, the Portland Development Commission, and the Office of Management and Finance as a framework for the potential redevelopment of the 10th and Yamhill Garage.
Staff? OMF?
Good morning, Mr. Mayor and City Council. I'm David Logsdon in the Office of Management and Finance. And what this resolution and memorandum of understanding does is continue the process that we've been under for the past year or so with Carroll Investments working with PDC on a potential redevelopment project for the 10th and Yamhill Garage. This lays out for the next 12 to 18 months the steps in the process, the roles that OMF and PDC and Carroll Investments will play in working towards a redevelopment project for the property. And it should be pointed out, this is a non-binding agreement. It is more administrative in terms of making clear to all three parties who is going to do what and under what terms working towards a potential development agreement. Any formal commitment of city funds or PDC funds or Carroll investment funds would only come into play when there is a formal development agreement, which is, we think, potentially 18 months away. And Lisa?
Sure. My name is Lisa Abwoff, and I work for the Portland Development Commission. I think the only thing I would add is this kind of is the grand finale to what you had taken action on about a year ago around this time, which was approving an intergovernmental agreement between us and OMF that authorized us to take the lead in negotiations, and secondly approved moving into exclusive negotiations with John Carroll. I guess we're here to answer any questions if you have any.
I have a couple questions.
Yes.
Lisa, if I could direct a couple questions to you. The first is, assuming we adopt the MOU and assuming at some later date there's agreement on a development deal, I just want to clarify, the public investment that would be proposed for this site is limited to just refurbishing the public parking, not to the residential portion of this building. Is that correct?
As it's currently laid out in the memorandum of understanding, that's correct.
My second concern is something we've had a chance to talk about before, but I'd like to have a colloquy on the record if we could. And that is that in the memorandum of understanding, it states that this particular property is proposed for relocation to the River District URA. Now, as you know, a group called the Friends of Urban Renewal have filed two challenges to the amendments to the River District URA. One challenge is the extension of the district and the bringing in new properties. And the second challenge is the so-called satellite district to David Douglas. And my question to you is, in light of the fact that this property is proposed for relocation to the River District URA, what is the impact on the development of this site of the pending appeal with LUBA brought by the so-called Friends of Urban Renewal?
Sure, I will hazard my answer. I think Bruce Warner, executive director, is here from PDC as well, if you'd like to join me in the answer to this. I would hazard, in terms of this specific project, one of the challenges would be if the appeal is successful, that the funds that are available and were part of our approved budget for the River District would no longer be available for this project in terms of assisting it to move forward beyond kind of the term of this memorandum of understanding.
That goes to the question of whether the appeal is successful, either at the LUBA level or at the court level. But what is the short-term impact of just the fact that there is an appeal pending on the timeline that we would otherwise be operating under for the development of this site?
Mr. Mayor, Commissioner Fish, for the record, Bruce Warner, Executive Director of PDC. I'll try to answer that. The good news is, as you heard, that this project needs some work before it's ready to actually have a development agreement signed. In other words, we have a lot of work to do to develop this project forward, and it'll be well over a year before you would see that before you. It is our hope that the LUBA decision will be decided, or the decision for LUBA will be made before that time, which would allow us to understand, is it just is your action affirmed? Is it remanded back for changes, or is it overturned? And I believe that Lisa has done a very good job of outlining that if this property, which I want to state for the record, is now in the River District, that ordinance is now effective, because of the cloud of appeal, we are unable to spend any real money for the development of this project. So without conclusion on that appeal, in a way that allows this to be part of the River District, this project will be very hard to move forward. But it's my hope that the LUBA decision and any changes we need to make would be taken care of before you see a development agreement before you.
And Bruce, I appreciate that clarification, because in a previous hearing, we noted that the cloud, as you referred to it, that is occasioned by the filing of the appeal, has caused an interruption in the funding for the work to be done on the Resource Access Center, which is a critical commitment that this community made as part of the SAFE process, among other things. And now, based on what you've shared with us today, we have a project which is not an affordable housing project, not a homeless relief project, but is would be classified more as sort of traditional economic development within an urban renewal district, that is also potentially impacted by the appeal of the revised boundaries.
That is correct.
If there is a significant delay because of the appeal process, let's say LUBA doesn't give a clear ruling, let's say there's an appeal, further appeal to the court, It's my understanding that there could be up to a 2 or 3 year period of time in which the Portland Development Commission would have serious concerns about committing funds to projects within this urban renewal district?
Mr. Mayor and Commissioner, that is correct. I think what we would have to do if this was continued on and was appealed to the Court of Appeals, I wouldn't comment on how long, but usually it seems like it's a year and a half or more for that to get resolved. So if you add that on top of the 7 or 8 months that are remaining for the LUBA appeal, your timeline is probably not unrealistic. And what we would have to be doing is looking not only at the projects like this, which are caught up in the change of the boundaries, but the next 5 years of expenditures from the existing indebtedness far exceed that amount available. So we would have to actually come back with you and our board and look at prioritizing and taking a number of projects out of the mix that are in the existing urban renewal area. So we would have to go back to the same level of funding we had before until this issue is fully resolved.
At risk of sort of belaboring the obvious, and again, I apologize because of my health, but the people who've been here for prior hearings will know that there is an issue which has been framed about the authority of this body to designate a so-called satellite district, and there's $19 million at issue, and that issue we were advised would be appealed to LUBA. The city attorney has opined on that, and this body is confident of its position. But what I think people need to understand is that the companion appeal that was filed, challenging the boundaries, the extension of the boundaries of the River District urban renewal area, has also put a cloud, and therefore on all the other projects which were in the works. And these would be both of the affordable housing developments, which this council committed to, as well as I mentioned, developments like this, which were considered more sort of traditional economic development projects. And I think it's important for the public to understand what the practical impact of the companion appeal is on our ability to meet commitments we made to both the business community and to the housing community and our fellow citizens in downtown Portland.
I agree, and I think it's fair to say that all projects without a good closure on this case will result in, again, reprioritization and maybe significant reductions in the amount of monies available for all types of projects.
Thank you.
Well, I just want to observe that I appreciate those excellent questions and observations. Those are very helpful.
Thank you.
Thank you, folks. Do we have a sign-up sheet?
We do. We have three people signed up. John Carroll, Lily Mandel, and Irwin Mandel.
Guess who's going to go first?
Being here, folks, when you speak, please state your name for the record. You each have 3 minutes.
Thank you. My name is John Carroll. Thank you for the opportunity to sit before you and talk about a project that we are now 2, going on 3 years into. We've been working with the Office of Management Finance, PDC, Downtown Neighborhood Association, and a collection of stakeholders, adjacent businesses. And the reason we've been working so hard is because it is a very important site for the city of Portland. It is a connection between what historically has been our downtown and now the connection with the streetcar and light rail up into the Pearl District and into Upper Northwest. I do want to acknowledge the fact that the LUBA process is a source of angst in our conversation. We have spent a great deal of time. We will continue to spend time and financial resources under this cloud. And I think the thing that's important for us as developers is that we think this is one of the most important projects the city of Portland has seen for a long time, and we're willing to take and participate as it unfolds. There has been something that's been going on the last 5 or 6 months, 10 months maybe, that we could all acknowledge, and that is there has been some changes in the marketplace. There has been changes in the world of financing, and to the extent that I did acknowledge that environment that we're operating in, I don't think it would be fair, and then just looking exclusively at the LUBA process, there is this interesting opportunity maybe to extend ourselves some time so that we can work our through product for that site and for that neighborhood. The bottom line is this site is worthy of the attention. This past week I had an opportunity to participate in a sustainability conversation with about 60 people in a room talking about, is there a center for sustainability here in Portland? Are there examples around the country? And I personally look at this site and say it's owned by the city at this particular point. We're looking at different types of product. We're looking at different types of uses. It is a parking garage, but that does not mean that it can't be a paradigm for a new take on sustainability in the country. And I'd like to leave you with that thought, as that is one commitment that we are going to fully embrace. Thank you for the opportunity.
I have to observe, John, that John and I together went to Malmo, Sweden, and Copenhagen for that specific purpose of looking at projects that are built with sustainability in mind. So I'm not surprised to hear you say what you are after our trip. And I'm reminded that was a very important thing that we did. And I got a lot out of it, and it sounds like you did as well.
That was very inspirational, and hearing the young students talk about the bus passes and acclimating them, the youth, to alternative transportation, there's a real opportunity here at this site. Thank you for bringing that up.
Hi, Lily Mandel. I'm a downtown resident, too. And Mayor and Commissioners, I think that getting rid of this urban blight would be a delight and the key that opens the door for much, much more development in this downtown core. And I look forward to the day that I can walk past this site and avoid a spray from a golden shower. Thank you.
When you said you supported this, did you hear us all exhale?
Or the sigh of relief from John.
Sigh of relief, yes.
Good morning, Irwin Mandel. Happy birthday, Sam. We share this date. Today is our 58th anniversary.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
We made it. Many of our friends didn't. This is one small step for City Council and potentially one giant leap forward for the downtown core. This building has been, I hate to get in the set of adjectives that are available, but a real blight, as my wife has said. It is also the opportunity to develop 10th Avenue, if you think about it. If you look along 10th Avenue, other than the back of the Benson and John's building, the Elliott, this has lain fallow ever since we moved here 15 years ago. Nothing has happened, and it has the potential for being a great boulevard through there when development occurs. But with this building remaining as it is, I don't think any development will ever occur. This horror must go. The best option, and there have been discussions of many, just tear it down. You have an option. You can put a new garage, part underground, new retail, new housing, new office commercial, and that would spur an interest in the future development of 10th Avenue that just has not existed and yet was included, I believe, in the 1972 downtown plan. If you look at Portland's Central City Design Guidelines, this building could be used as an example of how to write design guidelines, useful design guidelines, as a great negative example of how not to build something, particularly in the core of the city. Every assistant should be given to produce a brand new building with all the mixed uses and spur for future development that quite obviously can occur. Thank you.
I could, Mayor, just make one comment to Mr. Carroll. There are 11 so-called expiring use properties in and around downtown that between now and 2013 are going to expire. Part of our preservation strategy at the city level is to try to preserve all 11, which would, I think, allow about 800 older adults to stay in afford what's relatively affordable housing. But we know that downtown, with the change in the housing mix, we do know that there's been significant displacement of older adults. We're at the MOU stage, and you're mapping out how the thing might pencil, but I would urge you to consider a component of senior housing within the overall mix, if that fits within your plan.
We are talking and we are listening, and so please feel comfortable addressing that.
Thanks, folks. Is anybody else?
That's all who signed up.
Is anyone here who wishes to testify this specific issue? Please call the vote.
Adams?
I'm glad to see this project continue to move forward and look forward to working on it after the first of the year. Aye.
Fish. Aye. Leonard.
And I, too, am excited about this project. I'm really glad John is doing this. I have no doubt that this is just going to be an outstanding addition to our downtown, so I appreciate it. Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1237.
Authorize contract with Public Financial Management, Inc. for financial advisory services.
Morning, Mr. Mayor. Commissioners Eric Johansson, Debt Manager in the Office of Management and Finance. This ordinance authorizes the contract with Public Financial Management for financial advisory services. As you may be aware, the city occasionally engages the services of an outside independent financial advisor to assist in financial planning, strategic planning, and debt transaction management. Earlier this year, we conducted a request for proposals. We did receive one proposal. A selection committee reviewed that proposal and found that it was responsive to the needs of the city. The selected firm has been the city's co-financial advisor for the last 3 years. We are familiar with their services and the people that will be mostly working with the city. The term of the proposed contract is for 3 years, and the not-to-exceed amount is $500,000. With that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? Why, commissioners?
I guess why would only one firm respond? I mean, is it kind of out on the street that this firm gets it because they've had it for 3 years? Or
I think there's a couple of things going on. Number one, the market for financial advisors is changing. Under our debt policies, we require a independent financial advisory firm, which means it's a firm that's not affiliated with a broker-dealer. So we have a limited universe to begin with. One of the firms that we had used previously, Regional Financial Advisors, was acquired by a broker-dealer, so they became no longer eligible under our policies. Other financial advisors chose not to respond either, because geographically they're far away from the city, or for reasons that I can't explain right now.
So. Is it a concern at all to have the same firm 4 years in a row?
Frankly, this firm we used less than the other financial advisor that we had under contract during the same period, because what we were using them for were a more select list of projects. I'm not concerned about the people that are there. I'm very familiar with them, so that's not a concern.
I'm not insinuating that. I'm just saying. Yeah. I mean, oftentimes when you're dealing with independent audits, for instance, you don't want to use probably the same firm year in, year out. It begins to raise questions about their independence. That's kind of the spirit I was asking the question.
Now, this is a very, this is a national firm, Public Financial Management, based in Philadelphia. The people that will serve us are located in Seattle, which is not Portland, but it's not too far away. So their ability to provide the services that we need, I think I'm very confident in.
Other questions? Thank you. Is anyone signed to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? It's emergency, call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1238.
Update city deferred compensation plan to include the Portland Development Commission as a participating employer and clarify plan rollover and other sections.
It's a second reading. Call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Saltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Agenda item 1239.
Accept bid of Skyward Construction, Inc. for the Portland Fire and Rescue Station 1 seismic upgrade and facility remodel project for $9,703,267.
Jeff Barron.
Good morning, Mayor Potter, members of City Council. I'm Jeff Barron with the Bureau of Purchases. And before you is a recommendation to award this contract for the Portland Fire and Rescue Station 1 seismic upgrade and facility remodel to Skyward Construction in the amount of $9,703,267. A couple notable facts about this project. One is Skyward Construction is a locally owned business. They've identified 26.4% of the subcontract dollars going to minority women and emerging small businesses, mostly to a minority-owned business for performing electrical services. They are in full compliance with our EEO program and also in full compliance with our equal benefit requirements. And with that, I will pause and address questions. We also have a representative from facilities here in case there are questions related to the project.
Good work.
Questions from the commissioners?
I was curious, how close to our estimate did this bid come in at?
I believe the original budgeted estimate was $9.5 million. This came in at $9.7 million. Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff. Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Please read item 1240.
Approve contracts for towing and storage of vehicles.
Good morning, Mayor Potter and commissions. I think it's still morning. I'm Marion Gaylord, the towing coordinator for the city in the Revenue Bureau. And council's changed quite a bit since the last time I was here with a contract, but to just give you a brief background on it, this is an all-comers contract, which allows us to provide the maximum diversity and opportunity to small businesses locally. By all-comers contract, what that means is that if they meet our requirements for trucks, staff, and facility, then they are allowed to participate in the contract on a rotation. We received 30 applications this time, two of which were ultimately withdrawn. The other 28 represent 25 companies that are continuing from the previous contract and three that will be new to the contract this time. I would be happy to answer any questions that anyone has.
Questions from the commissioners? Thank you. Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? It's emergency. Call a vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Aye.
Potter?
Aye. Read item 1241.
Vacate a portion of Southwest Evergreen Lane subject to certain conditions and reservations.
Staff?
Hi. For the record, I'm Dee Walker, Department of Transportation, Right-of-Way Acquisition, and I'm here to present a street vacation for a portion of Southwest Evergreen Lane. It is a small cul-de-sac area that is currently under revocable use permit, and the property owners requesting to vacate it so they can transition better from public street to private property and have a more standard frontage use for their private property. There have been no objections from any of the bureaus or agencies, utilities, or neighborhood associations.
Questions from the commissioners?
This is up near the Hoyt Arboretum?
I'm sorry?
This is near the Hoyt Arboretum? Is that
you know, this is actually John Deo's project, and he is off on training today, so I'm just filling in for him. But
is this near the Hoyt Arboretum? Do you know?
Yes, it is.
Any other questions? Is there anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
We have one person signed up, Renee France.
Good morning. For the record, my name is Renee France. I'm here this morning on behalf of the applicant for this vacation, Claudia Cameron. And staff has presented the case and would just like to again reinforce the fact that we have full Bureau support for this. There were no objections raised by any of the neighboring properties. We had 100% signatures of the homeowners within the affected area along Evergreen, but I am happy to answer any questions you might have about the vacation request.
Thank you. This is a non-emergency and moves to a second reading.
Correct.
Please read item 1242.
Approve an agreement not to exceed $18,500 with the Tri-County Metropolitan Transportation District of Oregon to continue to continue an experimental bus pass program for the Office of Sustainable Development for fiscal year 2008-09.
Mr. Salzman.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. This is an agreement that we've had now, I should say the Office of Sustainable Development has had now for at least a couple years with TriMet. And basically, we end up reimbursing employees 100% for the cost of transit. We do this under the belief that, first, OSD should set an example, but second, because the Office of Sustainable Development is located on Northwest 9th and 10th in Northwest Portland, that it's a little farther to get to City Hall, Portland Building, and other places, and this makes sense, good sense. So I would urge support for it.
Could we save money if we moved him inside the free transit zone? They're just one stop away.
Are they?
Well, I guess okay. I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
I guess I'm wondering why we would choose one set of city employees to do that for. What's the rationale for that?
I think it's the rationale has been because we've felt it was consistent both with sort of the reputation of OSD and its location, and maybe Bruce Walker from OSD can add a little more details on that.
Good morning. I'm Bruce Walker from the Office of Sustainable Development. To answer your question, Commissioner Leonard, the Bureau of Maintenance has a similar program, and it I think it just moves through the regular, my understanding is it moves through the regular budget process to establish those the passes for their employees to use. And again, it's the desire to increase transit usage. When our office was relocated to in Northwest near the main post office, we had more trips, commute trips by car than by bus ridership. And when this program started, we've cut from 36% of the morning and evening commute to 18%, and the bus ridership has gone from 32% to 44%. There are many others who also ride bicycles, but the point is it has assisted change in habit on our office, and my understanding is it's had similar effects in the Bureau of Maintenance.
My question isn't whether or not it's a good idea, and your response is explaining why it's a good idea. I get that. I mean, I'm totally supportive of that, but I would expect that that logic would apply for employees who work at the Portland Building. I guess I'm not seeing the distinction between a person that works at the Portland Building that's on a bus line, and you guys are on a bus line, and as a matter of fact, streetcars right there as well. I'm not disputing mm-hmm. this at all. I'm just asking, why aren't we talking about this for all city employees? And you're not the right one to answer, and I understand that. And everything you've said just reinforces my point, actually, that you've obviously seen an increased mm-hmm. use of mass transit, and really, I guess I would say, complementary to our earlier discussion with the students, I'm not going to not support this, but I would like to have an addendum so that we do an analysis of what it would take to provide that kind of incentive for all employees of okay. the city.
I'd be happy to.
It's my understanding that all city employees get a discount.
That's true, pass. And I'm one of them. I mean, I get the discount, but I would actually exclude the city council from that so that anybody not be confused that I want a free bus pass. I want to pay for my bus pass. But for certainly employees, I think this is such a good idea, is a better way to put it. I'd like to explore applying it to more than just you guys.
Commissioner Leonard, I wonder if you would accept a friendly amendment, because I want to support your amendment.
Okay.
I too have a monthly pass, but and it allows me to take the number 10 and the number 12 to work. One drops me off a block from work. As a new employee, I was told it takes 2 months to process the application.
That's right.
And I wonder
if you lose it, there's you don't want to lose your bus pass.
We can talk about that. But I just wonder, in addition to examining the extent to which other bureaus have a similar program or whether we could extend it to other bureaus, I wonder if there is also, we as a friendly amendment, we could explore with TriMet shortening the 2 month period from new date of hire to receiving your bus pass.
Sure. Absolutely. So I think OSD has set a good example, and I think we ought to use that as a way to springboard to do an analysis of what it would take, and obviously that's money. So I guess the question is, how much does that cost?
Well, let's do it in the next budget process.
Yeah. I mean, I think it really comes down to a question of money, and we can certainly generate those numbers, or if PDOT's the more appropriate agency. But yeah, I think we can provide those calculations. We can document.
OMF is the more
appropriate. We should do it in the budget process, but I'm asking that we do the analysis now.
Sure.
And OMF so that we have the information.
I think OMF would be the best. They know how many employees and where they work.
Okay.
All that stuff.
So yeah, I guess that would be.
So I guess my amendment would be to the effect of us doing an analysis of what it would take to extend to all employees of the city, except the city council.
No.
So do you want to amend the ordinance, or is that just a record?
You don't take a raise. Why would we give ourselves a...
Commissioner, did you want to amend the ordinance? Just want to, is it a something that directly...
Is it an emergency?
I think you just legislative intent or amendment.
Yeah, that's fine.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Call the vote.
It's been moved and seconded. Let me clarify. It's been moved and seconded that as part of the next budget process that OMF is directed to analyze the options for implementing this approach for all employees. Is that a fair memorialization of the intent? And that we, as part of that, try to get a quicker startup turnaround time for new employees. And I would like to see the number 14 more frequent, and I would
the
like
number
a bus
14
stop.
Comes every 3 minutes.
I'd like it every minute and a half. And I would like at the light rail station with some hot coffee.
I know it's your birthday, but this ordinance is getting really long.
It is my birthday today.
Yeah, really.
Don't I get
something out in front of City Hall waiting for you?
So I'm assuming for Carla's purposes, the part is, as part of the next budget process, OMF is directed to analyze this approach for all employees, period? Okay.
Yeah.
Call the vote.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Seltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Do we vote on this now, or do we the full? Okay, please call the vote.
For the record, there was no one who signed up to speak to this.
Oh, okay.
Adams.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Leonard.
Aye.
Seltzman.
Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Please read item 1243.
Authorize a sole source contract with Cascade Sierra Solutions for $199,000 to open an Environmental Protection Agency SmartWay Technology Outreach Center to promote diesel fuel-saving technologies.
Mr. Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. You may recall on August 20th, we more or less authorized step one of this, authorizing the use of federal transportation funds to provide a SmartWay Technology Outreach Center at Jubitz Truck Stop. Step two is to authorize today this sole source contract with Cascade Sierra Solutions to operate this center. The reason this is a sole source is that ODOT and I believe Metro have both agreed that as part of this grant that Cascade Sierra, which is I believe is operating seven other centers along Interstate 5, is uniquely qualified to do this. And OSD found indeed the same finding that Cascade Sierra is the only contractor in the county providing the services as offered. With that, I'll turn it over to Jennifer Porter.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayor and Commissioners. Jennifer Porter with Office of Sustainable Development. Just to go on what Commissioner Saltzman already noted, we are just excited to be here with this project and would thank PDOT for collaboration on working with this. Cascade Sierra is an Oregon nonprofit that's recognized nationally by the EPA for their unique approach, and we're really excited this is going to be a Portland stop at Jubitz. And Sharon Banks is here with Cascade Sierra Solutions just to make a brief statement as well.
Hi, my name is Sharon Banks. I am the founder and chief executive officer of Cascade Sierra Solutions, and I am an Oregonian. Our mission at Cascade Sierra is to upgrade tractor-trailer trucks with fuel-saving technologies and also with products that reduce diesel emissions as prescribed by EPA SmartWay program. Our approach is very unique. We work and co-locate with truck stops, and we put in outreach centers that bring together multiple brands of technology all in one location where truckers can come in and find out. Many truckers are not aware what they need to do to improve their fuel economy and reduce emissions. This brings together technologies in a unbiased level playing field where they can get real information on what is the right product for their vehicle. We do not favor one brand over another. It's a completely unbiased environment. The only time we would recommend one product over another if there's a clear environmental benefit. We also, in addition to providing this important technical advice, we bring together government resources, grants, and low-cost financing. We have a program that's funded by Department of Transportation and Department of Energy, and now we have an Oregon bank that's bringing private sector capital as well to bring low-cost financing to the trucking industry for these products. This breaks down a really important capital cost barrier and allows us to get products on trucks because with the credit market the way it is today, it's very difficult to get products like this financed, even though they provide a positive return on investment. We also provide rules and information on rules and regulations that affect the trucking industry to help truckers stay in compliance with rules. As our sister to the south is regulating trucks that come in and out of the state, it's really important that we have this financing available and information about what they need to do to be in compliance and continue their business. So this funding is really critical to our success here in our first year of operations. We are open already. We had a grand opening about a month ago, and we are delighted to be here. Portland, Oregon is the largest center that we've opened yet, and we have another one opening the 24th of this month in Sacramento, California. But Portland is still going to be the biggest one yet, and it is, to our knowledge, the largest collection of fuel-saving technologies all in one location anywhere in the world. So come on by and check it out, and we hope you'll approve this contract. Thank you.
I have just one question, if I could, Mayor. It certainly sounds like a wonderful program, but I'm curious, since we're talking about diesel fuel and certain kinds of new technologies in the context of interstate commerce and travel, why is this not something that either the federal government or the state government funds, given the clear benefits?
This is Federal Highway Administration dollars that have come through ODOT Metro funding through the Congestion Mitigation for Air Quality Project. That we're essentially cities acting to help this nonprofit access that funding source. So it is federal funding, and that's what we accepted with the IGA on the 20th was that initial money. So this is actually no cost to the city.
I'm sorry, I guess I didn't understand that.
That's
helpful.
Yeah.
I may still have supported it, but I was just curious why we're funding it.
Yeah, so we already accepted the IGA.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Other questions? Did you want to make a comment?
Mayor Potter, if you'll indulge me for just a second, Jennifer Porter has done outstanding work in this area. She is leaving our employment, much to my regret as manager. She and her husband are moving back to a family home in Pennsylvania, and she's done excellent work in emissions reduction, not only for this type of project, but the work we've done with requiring B20 use for our haulers. She led the rollout of the new residential CART program. She's been a leader in diversity for our office and has participated in the city. So I just wanted to acknowledge before our leadership the excellent and outstanding work of Ms. Porter.
Thank you, Bruce. Hear, hear.
Thank you.
And you, as you promised, you sent me the email on the extra CART, which I greatly appreciated. So.
Good. Yep.
Thank you.
Sure.
Thank you, folks. Are there any other questions? Did anybody sign up to testify on this matter?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific matter? Please call the vote.
Adams?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Leonard?
Aye.
Saltzman?
Well, I'm pleased to support this, but I just want to add my accolades to Jennifer Porter and the great work she's done for the Office of Sustainable Development and in the larger picture for the City of Portland on several important issues. You've been a good leader, and we appreciate your work for us. And good luck to you in Pennsylvania. Aye.
Potter.
Aye. Thank you, folks. Thank you, Jennifer. Please read item 1244.
Update waste prevention and recycling requirements for businesses and establish permit requirements for waste hauling companies.
Mr. Salzman.
Thank you, Mayor. This ordinance codifies the Portland Recycles commercial plan as approved by Council in late April. The changes include new permit requirements, clean fleet requirements, and business and multifamily recycling targets. If you have any questions, Babel Sullivan and Bruce Walker are here to answer any questions you may have.
Questions? Is anyone signed up to testify on this matter?
No one signed up.
Is there anyone here who wishes to testify to this specific issue? It's a non-emergency, moves to a second reading. Thank you, folks. Please read item 1245.
Authorize a support agreement and accept a donation of $120,000 from the Portland Parks Foundation for the development and construction of a rainwater pavilion at Tanner Springs Park.
Commissioner Saltzman.
Thank you, Mayor. It's a pleasure to bring forward this ordinance. It has been a long time coming, and I'm thrilled that we have reached this point in this project. Some quick background. Tanner Springs Park has been well received by residents and visitors in the Pearl District, but it's never been completed. It was always envisioned that the park would have a covered pavilion on its north end as a rain shelter and gathering space. It was never finished, that part of it. Enter Graham Clark, one of the best planners I've ever had the pleasure of working with. In 2001, we lost Graham. His family, as well as many folks within the city system and outside of it, were committed to memorializing his incredible work through the completion of the Tanner Springs Park. Thanks to the Portland Parks Foundation, and especially the energy of Graham's mother, Margaret, as well as his whole family, we now have the funding to complete this pavilion in Graham's memory. And I think Betsy Ames might be here to say something about this.
Hi, Betsy Ames, Assistant Director with Bureau of Planning, and I'm here to thank the Parks Foundation, to thank the Parks Bureau, and to thank Graham's family for all their work in making this happen. Graham was a very well-regarded and respected planner with the Bureau of Planning for many years. He was a longtime friend of our employees, and this will be a very fitting tribute in an area of town that he spent a lot of time working with the community to help realize their vision for a more dense, more urban community. And I think the legacy that he left can be seen there and in other parts of town, as well as in the collaborative work that continues in the Pearl District between developers and the community in making a more vibrant, exciting place. So thank you very much, Commissioner, and thank you, Council.
Do we have anybody sign up?
No one else signed up.
This is a non-emergency and moves to a second reading. We're adjourned until next week. And I'll see you.